brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science, guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.
Welcome to Honest Money. Today we're getting in touch with our feelings because we're talking about our emotions and our investments. And I think it's not unknown nowadays that the way we feel and the way we invest are very much related. You know, your money is so tied in with your kind of emotional background, both the way you were brought up, the way you grew up, and the way you feel about money now. That maybe doesn't seem like an obvious thing to a lot of us, but I think it's worth just understanding a little bit about the impact of our emotions on our money, and it impacts everything. So it impacts the way we spend, the way we save, or the way we don't save, the way we invest, the way we don't invest, and sometimes the way we make decisions that are on the surface completely illogical and irrational. But once you understand the underlying emotions, it becomes very clear and very obvious and very rational decisions to make. So I thought maybe just to talk a little bit about spending and emotions first, and then about investing and emotions. So I think in the world, and South Africa is no different, we have a big part, a big problem with people who spend more than they earn every single month. Now, a lot of that will be pure economics. In other words, there are lots of people in South Africa that are unemployed. So to kind of criticize someone who's unemployed for spending more than they earn is silly, and we're not doing that. What we're talking about are the other group of people that are still overspending, those who earn enough money, who can spend less than what they earn every month, but choose not to do it. And that describes a lot of people in middle and high income earning brackets all around the world, and South Africa is no different. And for me, it's quite a tricky thing to talk about because it actually there's kind of a lot of psychology at play when people are overspending. So sometimes we overspend because we feel a gap, we feel a void or an inadequacy in ourselves, and we try and fill that inadequacy and we try and fill that void by shopping. So some people will just do kind of small little regular shopping. They even create a phrase for it. They call it retail therapy. I need to feel better, so I go and I buy something. And with the advent of online shopping and easy credit, retail therapy is a very easy thing to do, but it's absolutely lethal to your finances. And just understanding that, shopping to feel better, it doesn't make anything better. What happens is you create a bigger problem because you're constantly spending. So every month you're looking at that statement on your banking profile and your debt is getting bigger. That makes you feel not good. So you want to feel better, so you shop more. And so that cycle gets worse and worse and worse, and the snowball rolls down that hill in an ever increasing speed, and eventually just causes massive financial destruction. And that's really tragic for people that have, let's say, come from really humble backgrounds and they've built themselves up to the point where they've got educated, they've got a good job, they're just not controlling their spending. And it's important, if you're listening to this and you're thinking that might describe you, I'm not saying to you, don't spend. What I'm saying is understand why you spend. Spend a bit of time to kind of stop and think and say, am I buying whatever it is, the fancy car, the fancy shoes, the fancy shirt or the handbag or, whatever it is, am I doing that stuff because of something inside, something that's that like a hole I'm trying to fill? And it's not an easy kind of conversation to have with yourself, but it's worth just understanding. It's worth looking in the mirror every now and then to say, how am I doing with my money? How am I controlling my money, or is my money controlling me? The point here is not to tell you what to do. It's to kind of ask you the question so you can look in the mirror and kind of take control. I think a lot of people, when we talk to them about their money, they feel out of control. They feel that they're not running their money. Their money is running them. And that's it's a tragic place to be if you're in a position where you are employed and you're making enough money, but the money's still not enough for you at the end of every month. And just know that there is no amount of money. You'll never earn enough to be able to make yourself feel better. You need to kind of stop that whole dynamic and say, I need to accept what's going on. I need to understand why I don't feel good, deal with that, and then use my money as a tool for good, as a tool for growing my life in the direction I want to be, I want to go. And so just, you know, with spending, there are lots of, you know, complexities around spending, and just understanding that, you know, often if you're earning a good salary, don't just give yourself the excuse that you're still not earning enough. You know, you still need more. We don't need a heck of a lot, actually, as human beings. You know, once we pare things down, we need fun, we need enjoyment, we need love, we need relationships. You know, obviously, we need to live somewhere, we need to eat, but those things don't all have to cost an absolute fortune. And we don't need to be buying the kind of most expensive branded goods or most expensive luxury items all the time. You know, a bit of luxury is great for the right reason, not to fill a hole and to fill a void. And then I think maybe just to talk around emotions and investing, which is, you know, something I'm much more kind of experienced with and much more comfortable understanding. And so, you know, when we look at the world of investing, I understand that emotions always play a big role in the way that we invest. You know, sometimes we can kind of see it in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years. We've seen examples of the cryptocurrency hype. Now, I'm not talking about whether cryptocurrency is good or bad. I'm talking about the emotions that get attached to that. So you know, you might be kind of innocently minding your own business, saving money on every month, contributing to a unit trust or an exchange traded fund, and going along doing very well. And then one of your friends comes along and says, "Gee, I bought a cryptocurrency, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I've doubled my money." Now I can tell you what's happening there is, I'm not saying your friend's lying, maybe they did do that, but what's happening inside is you start to feel FOMO, you start to feel a fear of missing out. You know, why shouldn't I do that? You know, why can't I get that great growth as well? And, you know, why is everyone else making all this money and not me? And, you know, why shouldn't I participate? So emotion starts to kick in, and so we get excited and we get greedy for this growth, and we feel it's our chance and it's our way to break out of this big hole we've got you know in our lives, and so we start to follow the trend. Not a lot of homework gets done, not a lot of research is done, not a lot of understanding. It's just about everyone else is doing it, everyone else is winning, I'm losing, I want to start winning, get on the bandwagon, and off I go. And unfortunately, what happens when you look at the world of money, that builds up momentum, and most of the people that kind of get caught in that wave of hype and emotion, they do it right as the thing that you're busy buying reaches a peak and then falls out of bed and actually just implodes. It's happened hundreds and hundreds of times over the last 300 or 400 years. It's not a new phenomenon. It's the investment is new always. You know, if you go back hundreds of years ago, it was flowers. There was a thing called the tulip mania in the Netherlands. There was an ostrich feather boom in South Africa where this happened. Obviously, it's happened in stock markets lots of times. It's happened with, you know, Robin Hood shares. It happened with cryptocurrencies. I'm sure it's happening with AI kind of related businesses right now, where people are getting overhyped about AI as an investment, as opposed to AI as a tool that's going to change the way we do things in the future. So all of these things are very plausible trends, you know, that have a solid underpin to why they might be very good. That doesn't make them great investments in the short term. And then understanding also that once you're kind of stuck in this hype and you're attached to this, you attach a lot of emotion to being right. There's so much importance that I did this because I was sensible. I did this because I was logical, because I'm really clever. And so when the thing starts to fall over, you don't exit very, very quickly or very easy, because that's admitting that you might have made a mistake. So you ride it out and you listen to all your friends who are telling you that this thing is fine and don't worry, it's going to bounce. Everything's going to get better. And of course, what happens is it falls out of bed even further, and the cycle gets worse and worse and worse. And eventually you kind of call it quits, and you kind of collapse your investments. And if you've got any money left, you take it and you kind of go back to the way life was. Emotions are really powerful there. If we look at, you know, just stock markets, you know, there are so many trends when it comes to stock markets where people get caught in hype as well, and not always from a kind of a solid base of knowledge. If you think about biotechnology, you know, biotech was, you know, biotech's a really profound, powerful tool that might change the way we all live and the way we eat and the way we sleep and the way we lose weight and all of those things. It's really important. But not every company that calls itself biotech is going to be a great investment. And actually, when investment trend starts around a new technology, a lot of the early companies that are well known and kind of well hyped, they don't become decades long great investments. What happens is they get all the hype, they get a bit of market share, then someone else comes along with a better technology, more well marketed, and they just destroy the early adopters. It happened in the internet bubble, certainly, it happened in the biotech space. And I think in the AI world, exactly the same. You know, the fact that OpenAI is kind of a front runner right now doesn't mean that OpenAI is the front runner in 5 years' time. It could be Microsoft, it could be Google, it could be some completely new business. And time and time again, that's what happens. So if you're going to invest according to a trend or a fashion, my suggestion is don't do it. But if you are going to do it anyway, be careful about the fear of missing out. Be careful about saying, I'm just doing this because I don't want to miss out on what everyone else is winning. I promise you, a lot of people are not winning. You know, they're talking about their victories, the few. The silent majority don't talk. They're called the silent majority for a reason. They don't tell you about what they're doing. They don't tell you about their success and their failure. It's just the few very loud ones that like to brag that don't tell you about their failures. The loud ones who brag about their successes very rarely stand up and say, oh, I lost a whole lot of money. I made a big mistake. They just keep quiet. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed, and they cut their losses. And you get stuck in this trend. And I think it's not productive. I think equally, if we're talking about emotions, fear is a big one. So when we're investing and we've built money, let's say you bought a general equity unit trust, you know, which is just a unit trust that buys, you know, shares on the stock exchange. It owns nothing else but shares. Or you buy a top 40 index. It owns nothing but the top 40 shares on the stock market. If you buy that and you see it kind of trending and it goes up and it goes up and you're making some money, you know, life feels good. But what happens when it starts going down? When it starts going down, you want to know why. That's the most, it's the most basic human thing. We don't want to lose. We want to protect our assets. You know, now it's about fear of loss. So fear, it's a powerful instinct that you should listen to when you're being, kind of attacked by a predator. Then you need to listen to fear and you need to run fast or climb a tree or hide or something. But fear is not a great way to make investment decisions. And the reason is fear kind of reduces our time horizons. So if you're making investment decisions for buying shares, for example, that's a 5, 10, 15-year investment decision. Your time horizon is many, many years, if not many decades. The problem with fear is we can't see long-term when we're afraid. Our time horizon is right here. It's right in front of us. It's what's happening in the next 30 seconds or the next day or maybe the next week. And there is no investment that's guaranteed to do well in the next day, the next week, or even the next month. You know, if you make a sensible investment, it's going to go up or down, but it's going to go up over a long period of time. And if you're afraid and you're worried about losses, you're not going to be able to tolerate up or down over a short period of time because all you're worried about now is protecting. So if you're making investment decisions out of fear, and a lot of South Africans are afraid all the time, you know, it's kind of unsafe to drive on the roads nowadays. It's, crime's a big factor. We don't trust our politicians. We're worried about corruption. We're worried about, you know, bad standards of accountants. We've seen lots of things, kind of that make us afraid. And social media, normal media, all of that's blaring at us that, you know, watch out, be afraid. So all the time we're being told by our friends, WhatsApp groups, everything to be careful, to be afraid. And then all of a sudden you've got an investment which has done okay for a while and it starts to go down. All of the fear that's being fed at you will add to that and will then create your dynamic of shortening your time horizon and maybe forcing you to make not a rational decision, maybe kind of on the surface of it, not the best decision you're going to make, where you should just be riding out the short-term losses and let it carry on. And understanding that there's a huge difference between someone who makes a long-term sensible investment decision in the stock market when it's a kind of well-diversified, you know, index or unit trust, and someone that buys one share or one cryptocurrency or one biotech stock or one, you know, whatever it is, AI share, like that's a bet. As far as I'm concerned, that's a bet. And you're doing it out of emotion because of fear of missing out. That's not rational to start. So when it starts going down, don't say, no, hang on, you know, what Warren said, I should be sensible and have a long investment horizon. You made the wrong decision to start. So the best decision there is cut fast and get out. But if you're investing in well-diversified, well-established investments that where you own lots of shares, or maybe you've got a balanced unit trust where you own shares, property, bonds, cash, and you know it's a sensible thing, then when the fear starts to kick in, that's the time to say, I'm making an investment decision here out of fear if you're going to sell. And that's not clever. Then take some time. But, you know, kind of close your laptop or close your computer, close your phone app, and just go and think about it for a while. Pick up the phone and talk to someone. You know, talk to someone that you trust, that's sensible with money, and say, gee, I'm struggling with this thing. What should I do here? And once you've got someone rational on the other side, they kind of help to balance you out. So get yourself a money buddy, you know, get kind of a training partner with your money, or make an appointment with that advisor and pay them for an hour of their time and say, what do you think? But don't get stuck in this fear cycle when you've got a kind of a well-diversified portfolio and you're just afraid. You know, sometimes fear is an opportunity to buy more investments at a high quality price. And I think maybe, you know, that's my big theme with this whole thing is we are so susceptible all the time to what everyone else thinks, whether it's how we spend, what we think about our investments, what do we think about the Rand, what do we think about South Africa, what do we think about our politicians. And a lot of the time, everyone that you're asking and all the hype that you're getting from everywhere else, you're getting it from people who don't know. They also don't know. They're just loud. They're brash. They're happy to have a view because they think, you know, I have to have an opinion. You know, it's difficult for people to say, I don't know. You know, it's kind of a powerful thing to be able to say, I don't know. Let's all do some work. Let's go and do some research. And, you know, let's not get stuck in a social media echo chamber. And maybe just to kind of end off on that, you know, there are a lot of people in South Africa that are finfluencers. I see them and I block them as much as I can on what used to be called Twitter. And you know, there are people that are really good at punting a social media profile. And what do they do with that social media profile? They create hype. They're promoting, you know, some useless share or some useless kind of new ETF or index or whatever it is, not new token. Because they want a following, and maybe they launch their own business so that they can get, you know, people to invest and follow them. The fact that that business falls over doesn't hurt their social media profile. They keep going and they move on to the next thing. But all the people that have followed them have lost massive amounts of their money. And so I think be careful of finfluencers. I think be careful of people that promote themselves out there as having knowledge. You know, if you're 23 years old, you haven't invested ever, and suddenly you've got a, you know, 50,000 you know, following on X, or a huge you know, YouTube following. What do you actually know? Like, what market crash have you been through? The fact is, you're good at Twitter. The fact is, you're good at YouTube doesn't make you a good investor. I think if you're following people, follow people who write books, follow people that have done the job of actually investing money for others for long periods of time. Obviously biased, that describes me, I know, but there are lots of people like me in this industry and in this country and in this world that write a lot, you know, that give great content, and a lot of it is free. So I'm not saying follow me, you know, you can just make sure you're taking it from the right source, and don't listen to WhatsApp. WhatsApp groups from your so-called friends, you know, they're not going to help you make money over the long term. You know, WhatsApp's great for organizing social functions and for organizing school runs and all that stuff. It's not a great place to understand investment information. It's, in fact, very destructive. So stay cool, stay calm, stay centered. You know, read magazines and read books when you want to know about investing. Don't follow Twitter. Don't follow X. Don't follow, you know, WhatsApp groups. And chart your own course. Make your own mind up. Hope you enjoy the show.
Brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science. Guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.